get started with this. The state treasurer, Tobias Reed, is here this morning. He's going to take advantage of this time by sitting in on our update. So we welcome you.
All right. Good morning, Chair Imeson, members of the board, and State Forester Daugherty. For the record, I'm Ron Graham. I'm the Deputy Chief of Fire Protection. Just want to note on your agenda, it did state Chief Doug Graff and other Deputy Chief Russ Lane would be here. Chief Doug Graff is out in the field visiting current fires, and Russ Lane is off. He is the father of the bride, so we had to give him a little bit of time away to tend to some personal business. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I want to give you a little bit of an idea of what you're going to see today. I'm going to talk about the conditions on the land, the weather, what we're facing for the rest of the season, and then I'll take you on a little virtual tour of some of the fires that are going on right now and causing concern for us. So as always, feel free to interact and stop me, ask questions along the way for anything you might have. Okay, when I spoke to you last, I kind of prepped you for the outlook that was not looking very favorable at the time. And as we anticipated and are planning for, it continues to get worse. You can see the progression of the significant wildfire potential growing throughout the summer in the state. And it was a little bit earlier than anticipated, as some of the early outlooks didn't highlight July as having so much significant potential. So we're a little bit earlier, that's playing out on the ground as well. Actual conditions on the ground are running anywhere from 2 to 3 to a month ahead of what we saw in previous years. So the outlook remains in place. August looks like it will be a challenging month for us, and you'll see that more when I talk about the actual weather outlooks, and September as well. And we know fire season will not end until we get some change in the weather and relief, hopefully in October. So looking at both weather and precipitation, looking at the temperature on the top part of the slide there, the 8 to 14 days immediate outlook shows continued opportunities for us to have both below normal precipitation and above normal temperatures. So our immediate outlook continues to have strong indicators for both of those. We're not seeing any end to the current trend that we are in. And long term, as we're almost approaching the end of July here, beyond the 8 to 14, our long range planning, those conditions and forecasts and outlook continue the same pretty much for the entire month of August. We started the year not quite in so much drought. We weren't looking as bad as we are now, but drought is settling in. We now have 80% of the state in drought status, and you can see noted there, fairly significant, as this is the highest this has been since 2015. So we're settling in, drought is building, it's bringing us several areas of concern throughout the state, and I'll touch on some other factors in a bit related to this. So just a brief snapshot of where we are with statistics to date. Actually, we've updated our totals a bit. There are 10 more fires to report as far as the total number of fires to date. 549 fires to date, and our acreage is now up to over 18,800 acres of ODF protected lands impacted. That's a 44% increase in the number of fires versus last year, very significant. And the number of acres versus last year is a 240% increase. So, over the 10-year average, thank you. So significant number of fires on the landscape, significant number of acres burned. We're still not through the month of July, and we have several large fires burning on the landscape. So those daily numbers will increase as we go. Want to speak specifically about a few fires, some of the early fires that we've experienced. Of course, the Graham Fire, I can't take credit for that name of that fire. But that was one of our first large fires here in late June, just outside of Sisters, burned approximately 2,175 total acres, and about half of that was on ODF protected. We had over 200 homes threatened. We did experience a couple of residents destroyed and some outbuildings destroyed as well and damaged. This was a good catch, keeping a fire on the landscape to this size is a good catch by all measures in some challenging conditions. When this fire started, the lightning storm that started this fire triggered several other fires on other federal ownership, and some of those fires grew to quite large in size and posed significant challenges for those agencies. We hit it hard, we hit it aggressively, we hit it quickly. We mobilized an incident management team. There was a Conflagration Act. It did qualify for FEMA fire management assistance funding. So a really good catch on an early season fire. The next large fire we experienced was the Lobster Creek Fire down in the Coos Forest Protective Association outside of Gold Beach. This one caught everybody's attention naturally given what we went through with the Chetco Bar fire last year. So this fire, not as large, just short of 400 acres, human-caused fire, ongoing investigation with that incident. We didn't have the structure impacts here, but what we had is industrial forest land impacted by this, and it burned actively on those timberlands. I forget the exact last year that we had an incident management team deployed in Coos. In the 60s, I'm getting a wink. So it's been some time since Coos Forest Protective Association proper has ordered an incident management team for one of their fires. And there it was in early July. So another significant indicator to us as the kind of season that we're experiencing. The next large fire on the landscape for us was the substation fire. This fire was not ODF protection, largely a combination of BLM and unprotected lands. However, as the primary state agency for the FEMA Fire Management Assistance Grants, we represent those other agencies, both state and local fire departments and fire districts, counties, as their FEMA representative for that program. And we did get a declaration approved for FEMA for the substation fire. Significant threat to structures, over 1,300 structures threatened. One civilian fatality, as I'm sure you're aware of, very unfortunate situation there. And a large fire on the landscape, over 70,000 acres involved there. That fire is slowly wrapping up, and that's a real good thing to get those fires off the landscape. This fire was in lighter fuels, grass, brush, wheat, so not the heavy mop-up that you see with other fires that are typically on the landscape. I do want to go back just one moment between these fires. We had the Mimalus fire up in the gorge, another significant catch. This was growing rapidly, impacting the gorge, the highway, the scenic river corridors, threatening Rowena, and it was held at 60-some acres. Very, very significant catch there as well. This easily could have been another one of these large fires on the landscape. And then also a kind of a different fire this time of year for us was the Silver Creek fire up in Silver Falls State Park. Really significant fire. It challenged us on detection and access, very remote area of the park, limited access, heavy, heavy fuels, lots of snags, lots of challenges for firefighters. Took us a while to find that fire and get into it. And once we did, a good aggressive attack. We utilized a lot of aircraft, aviation resources from our severity program, as well as other contract aircraft to hold that in check. And we were able to keep and manage that at a Type 3 incident. 27 acres might not sound like a large fire or significant fire on the landscape, but in those fuel types and in these conditions, that's a large fire on the landscape for the Northwest Oregon area, and a great catch. It's back in control by the local district. They will be monitoring that and working on that probably throughout the summer. So what kicked a lot of our current activity off goes back to the weekend of July 14th through the 16th, where we experienced over 2,000 lightning strikes. This kicked off over 100 fires, probably significantly more than that if we were aware of exactly how many of these were triggered by this lightning event. Really significant widespread lightning event. This challenges us for both initial attack and extended attack. Typically, what we'll see is an extended period of time after these storms where these new fires emerge and develop. So it's a lot of heavy initial attack across these areas. Southern Oregon, particularly Southwest Oregon district for us, heavily impacted, as well as our federal partners. So as customary, I like to give you a little statewide overview. And unfortunately, once again, we have a very busy map to show you. We currently are up to our third FEMA fire with the Garner Complex. And I'll go into much more detail about the Garner Complex, but just wanted to note that it is our third FEMA fire. It is our third ODF incident management team deployment. And again, we'll visit that a bit more. But several large fires starting from the north there with the substation, working our way down through the South Umpqua complex, and of course the Graham fire wrapped up, Lobster fire, Coos Bay, the Klondike, and several other fires, Hendricks, Wagner. We will spend time on these, but just noting we have a lot of fire in the landscape, and it's leading to other impacts, of course, in that area. Just a snapshot on where the majority of the activity currently is. It's really in the Southern Oregon area, and it's across all ownerships, Forest Service, BLM, ODF, Protection. You look at that line of fires and complexes, it's very clear to see where the lightning traveled during that time period and what the result was. And again, I'll spend more time on each of these, just want to clearly show you what the situation is in Southwest Oregon and Southern Oregon and why Chief Graff is rightfully down there visiting with our folks. One of the major impacts that's happening as well is smoke impacts. Really, really poor air quality already, very healthy in some areas of that country right now. It is impacting our aviation operations at times. So any chance that we have clean air when we're able to do aviation operations and support the folks on the ground, we're taking full advantage of that. We'll move aircraft where we need to get them clean air to take off and land. And we've also employed technology like we did last year, utilizing unmanned aircraft systems and infrared technology to get us eyes on the ground through the smoke. The smoke protocols are in place, so much like last year when there's a lot of wildfires burning, all the agencies are coordinating and with the Oregon Department of Health Authority to coordinate smoke impacts to the public and keep the public informed. Okay, we'll take a little break from the PowerPoint and let's look at now some of the actual fires burning on the ground. Let's start up there with substation TZA, if you would. But just a shot of the perimeter of that, you can see the impacts to the roads, to the highways, to the interstate, scenic areas, the gorge. Significant fire on the landscape. An incident management team from the Pacific Northwest was assigned to this, as well as the State Fire Marshal's office. They did a really, really good job on that fire and hopefully getting the bulk of the resources off of that and available to us. Let's head on down to South Umpqua. Right, moving down to the South Umpqua fire. This is almost 3,000 acres currently. There is a Pacific Northwest incident management team assigned to this in unified command with the Douglas Forest Protective Association. Very familiar name to us and to you. Melvin Thornton is in the unified command for the Douglas Forest Protective Association. There are residents threatened. Pacific Crest Trail is impacted and numerous fires in that complex, as you can see. This should sound like a very familiar story and situation to last year, with fires on the landscape, on federal ownerships, multiple fires. I will note, communication and coordination has been better this year. We can always improve, we could always get better, but the communication with our districts, with our fire staff, and the federal agency fire staff is much better than it was last year. I still think we're very challenged with as much fires on the landscape, and the weather conditions aren't going to help us. So my concern is, can we hold on to what we have? All right, you want to move to Garner Creek, please. So the Garner Creek fire is under the jurisdiction of Oregon Department of Forestry, our incident management team, type one team under Chris Klein, IC, in unified command with the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office Blue Team. We currently have over 15,000 acres in the complex across two counties, Jackson and Josephine counties. If you look to the right of your map first, this is kind of the Garner Creek fire area, Pleasant Creek, several other fires. They're starting to merge into one. This is all part of the Garner Creek complex. There is a FEMA FMEG declaration for these fires. Doesn't cover all the fires. It specifically covers Garner Creek, Pleasant Creek, and Taylor Creek, as those fires pose the imminent threat to structures and residents. We're getting a bit of a handle on the Garner Creek side there. Things are starting to come together. Contingency lines are built, and we'll continue to go direct and reinforce our lines as we go. But the overall feeling is that we're feeling pretty good. Part of that is due, in fact, to the Garner Creek complex is currently the national number one priority fire in the country. So as we are at the preparedness level four, both nationally and in our geographic area, that fire ranks out as the highest and therefore gets considerable attention for requested resources. Slide over to the Taylor Creek side of that. Taylor Creek currently has over 1,000 structures threatened. Significant concerns in the Limpy Creek area still exist for us. But again, we are making decent progress on this fire as well. It's probably a good time to mention what the difference is here in some past fire seasons. We're seeing some characteristics on the landscape that remind us of 2013. We're seeing some characteristics on the landscape that remind us of 2015, as well as last year, 2017. I think the one silver lining that won't last for much longer is live fuel moistures are still not at critically low levels. What that's doing for us on the ground, it's keeping these fires right now from making 20, 30, 40,000 acre runs under plume-dominated conditions where the fires create their own weather and really dictate their own fire behavior. We're seeing much smaller runs. We attribute that to the live fuel moisture. But as we continue to ramp up with the warm temperatures increasing, our energy release component is on the rise, and we're going to see us lose that live fuel moisture component. So it's really important to us to button up as much of these fires, have good, strong containment and contingency lines in place when that does happen. We will be significantly challenged if these fires, as we like to call them, stand up and run. Okay, let's look at probably the Hendricks Fire next, TCA, if you would, real quick. The Hendricks Fire, we were in unified command on the Hendricks Fire as well. Another familiar name that you've heard many times in the past, John Buckman representing us down there. Hendricks Fire is just over 1,000 acres. We did have homes evacuated in the Applegate Valley. Initially, this was posing some significant smoke impacts to Ashland and threats to the watershed there as well. But really what we'd consider another good catch. Stopping these fires at the size we are, not seeing double digits, tens of thousands of acres burning there. I think I'll move over to the Klondike Fire next. Klondike Fire is over in the Coos Forest Protective Association area. Again, this is burning near the old Biscuit Scar and got our attention as well. The Coos Forest Protective Association is in, I believe we have a branch on that fire representing Coos Forest Protective Association, and continue to dedicate resources to that as well. We'll be watching that one very closely, naturally, and keeping good monitoring on that. So there's a bit of a snapshot of what's going on the landscape, what's challenging us, and will continue to challenge us as we move through that 8 and 14 day outlook that I mentioned to you. I want to just close with the complete and coordinated system and give you an idea of where we are at. As I mentioned, you know, conditions are early. Last year, this time, we were just starting to really ramp up our planning and preparedness around the solar eclipse. That was mid-August. This was mid-July. So we're ahead of schedule. We've totally utilized the complete and coordinated system. We have our Northwest Compact players here. We have two heavy air tankers and a lead plane out of Saskatchewan through the compact. We have the National Guard in play, two Chinook helicopters doing bucket work, a Lakota helicopter providing mapping and intelligence, HH-60 Blackhawk helicopter for medevac, and approximately 80 personnel doing traffic assistance points and protection patrol around road closures and evacuations. So heavy involvement with the National Guard. We have state resources from Florida, North Carolina, Michigan, and other states in the area as well. It's a bit of a different feel for preparedness level four to have this many resources from out of state and Canadian resources in, but we're seeing heavy, heavy drawdown on resources, much like we saw last year during preparedness level five. Those same drawdown conditions exist. So fortunately, we have those relationships in place as always. We're able to make those connections and get those folks in here. A couple parting thoughts to leave you with again, just as I close and then take any questions you might have. 44% more fires than we saw last year at this time. 244% more acres than the 10-year average. Gross large fire costs approaching $10 million. So I'll leave it with that and take any questions you might have. Good question. Yeah, several other states are very active as well. Washington is not quite as active, but considerably. Right now, Alaska has the most large fires nationally, with only two more than Oregon. So they have 15 large fires on the landscape. We have 13. But activity continues in the West across Idaho, Wyoming, Arizona, Texas, even Oklahoma still, Nevada as well, and California, of course. So a heavy emphasis on the West right now.
So the bad weather is here earlier, but is there any sign that good weather is going to be early also, or is that from what you said?
Yeah, I have not seen really any strong indicators. You saw the outlook for August certainly doesn't look good, and we don't expect August to be a wet month for us anyway. Right. You know, and I think it's a bit early to be looking out end of September and October at what the indications there might be.
Thank you very much.
We'll break now and go into the executive session. That I mentioned. We'll reconvene at 12.